You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Friday, May 26th of Memorial Day weekend, and we are live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning, and alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Engel, and CTM Baseball's Matt Mozica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, how's it going? Happy Memorial Day weekend. We are here. We got a show on the 8 a.m. show. And then we get the hell out of here, and we enjoy the barbecues, the sun that does not exist in New York City this weekend. What's going on, Matty Mo?
It is, like you said, it is Memorial Day weekend. For the record, I will wear this shirt every Friday until I am dethroned from his Mike Lyon.
Wow, it's a lucky shirt. I see
what's going on. If you don't like it, beat me.
You know what? I will. King, what's going on, man?
I'm good as long as Matt washes that shirt before he comes back every Friday. And feeling good, moving up in my fantasy baseball leagues.
That's good.
Into prime spots. Just looking forward to some R&R this weekend.
Absolutely. Fantasy Executive, what's going on with you,
hey,
man?
Hey, what's the deal? How's everybody doing this morning? So looking forward to the upcoming holiday weekend also.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of, it's annoying because this is the unofficial start of summer, and yet there's no sun.
Doesn't feel like it.
No. Yeah.
Rain.
How are you, Greg?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I watched Foul Territory last night. Fantastic episode on the Fantasy Sports Network. Catch that on the man of the network. You can also check it out on YouTube. It was a fantastic episode. We had a balloon guy here. Corey brought in a magician for Chris's birthday. It was fantastic and well worth checking out. I just had that. Ate dinner laid low last night. And, I'm going to have dinner with my mom today, my dad tomorrow. Family weekend.
That's cool.
But just because it's Memorial Day weekend doesn't mean we won't be here Monday morning. Roto Experts will be live 8 a.m. Four of us will be seated in these exact spots because we got you covered. A lot of baseball Memorial Day, so we make sure we have you covered here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and, of course, Roto Experts in the Morning. So I want to start with the inevitable, Corey.
Yeah.
The inevitable has finally taken place. Back last June, we hoped for a third act. It is now May 26th. By the time June rolls around again, the third act will begin. It's LeBron. It's Chef. Let's do it again one more time.
Yeah, for all the marbles, this is 3 years in a row now. Obviously, the first time we had a unhealthy Kyrie. Then last season, we had a unhealthy Steph Curry. And then we had that tremendous Game 7. And I think we all, like you said, we knew the inevitable was going to happen, that it was going to come to another spot where these two teams got together again.
Yeah, it's interesting because these two teams, obviously, they play each other twice a year besides the finals, once in Cleveland and once in Golden State. With that being said, do you gentlemen believe this is currently the best rivalry in basketball?
Yeah, it has to be, by far.
Yeah, the best teams, the best rivalries. No teams have ever met three straight years in the finals.
Possibly in sports for me.
Yeah. Possibly in sports right now.
Right now, yeah.
And that's crazy because, again, they play each other once or twice a year. It's awesome. All right, when we come back, we'll dive a little bit more into the NBA finals. Got a lot of football to get to as well. Baseball coming up as well. We got a lot to do today. It's Mike Lyon. It's going to be a great Friday. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matty Mo, Scott the King Engel. NBA Finals, as we mentioned, that is set. Cavs Warriors, number 3. And the Warriors got some time to rest. Cavs got some time to rest because it doesn't start like another week. Absurd. Cavs have lost one game, right? 12-1. While the Warriors are perfect. 12-0. Ultimately, this is what we wanted to see. Now, I'm very sick of everybody talking about how the NBA sucks. The NBA is the worst. The hockey is amazing. And, listen, I watched Game 7 last night. I watched both overtimes. I watched all Game 7. I watched both overtimes. It was awesome. Pittsburgh going for their second consecutive championship against a good Nashville team.
I understand the hockey love. I understand game seven love in anything. But when it comes to the NBA, this is what we wanted from the beginning. Like, I don't want any crap from, it's not competitive. This is, it's a superstar league. The championship finals are being won by 30 points. Listen to me. The best drama was always LeBron versus Durant in their primes versus Steph Curry, Kyrie. I mean, this is what we wanted. I don't care how we got there. This is going to be dramatic. This is going to be exciting. And I am extremely, extremely excited for the NBA Finals. In fact, if it wasn't these two teams, it would have been a letdown, and I would have been disappointed and cared less. Now, I'm going to make sure I watch every game. Very, very excited, Scotty.
You hear the complaining in every sport. You heard in the NBA in the 80s, oh, it's Bird, it's Magic, you know, all the time. It's Bird, it's Magic, and Dr. J. Then you heard it in baseball, oh, the Yankees are winning every year, you know, in like the 90s. You know, then you hear it in football, oh, the Patriots win too much. You know, just stop it and enjoy it for what it is, because this is something special. Like we said, you know, no teams have ever met each other in the finals. Three years in a row, and you know the Celtics last night just got sandblasted. It was their worst loss ever in a game seven on their home court. Look, it is what it is. You enjoy it for what it is. These are the kind of battles that you're going to remember as a fan for years. Because I remember, you know, growing up loving the NBA in the 80s, and people would complain about the Lakers and the Celtics, but those Bird Magic battles were just so classic.
Yeah, I mean, this is the modern-day NBA rivalry. Definitely looking forward to it, obviously. You want to see this thing go as far as possible. Another Game 7 like it was, like we had last season between these two teams would be absolutely tremendous. Now, the dynamic this year is different, though, because you bring Kevin Durant into the mix, obviously. Several times last night during the press conference, LeBron James referenced the Golden State Warriors as the juggernaut out west. He knows what he's going up against now. But this is also the best supporting cast that LeBron James has ever had also. I mean, even better than teams in Miami. Now, don't get me wrong. Nobody's legacy will be as big as Dwayne Wade's. But the way Kyrie Irving is playing right now, the way Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, this is a better team than he had in Miami. So this is going to be very, very intriguing, very good basketball coming up. So I'm looking forward to Dub Nation. Rise up. Rise up, Dub Nation.
Oh, boy.
He hating now. He hating.
Well, I mean, I'm just calling what it is, front running.
I'm excited that these two, otherwise I might not even have watched really, but I will be in tune watching this off finals. The one thing though I will miss, and I don't think we really even touched on, was Shaq and
his feet last night.
No, the other night when him and Barkley that really went at it.
That was amazing.
He was like, I'll throw a chicken wing at you. And he was like, oh, you were riding on Kobe's coattails and stuff. Said, they really got personal.
They was talking that Kevin was, Love, and Kevin Love, they asked about the injury. He was like, I just had to walk it off. And then Barkley was like, you should come take Shaq fat ass for a walk with you. And I'm like, they do an amazing job.
They do
an amazing job. It was
great.
You know, every other network, they would like, be produced or edited out. It would go away. And he's like, I don't care. It's fantastic. Really looking forward, of course, the NBA Finals starting next week. Let's get into the football here. And before we get into what we promised we talked about today, which is a bit of the gadget player, the Tyreek Hill, McCaffrey, we want to get into that and figure out the draft. You know, we got the Roto Experts mock draft going. We got Matty Mo's NFFC draft going. So we can certainly take a look with some of those players are going. We're going to do that. But before we get into that, and we'll do that, you know, after the break in a little bit, I want to talk about this Odell Beckham Jr. stuff.
What's Odell Beckham Jr. stuff?
We answered Odell Beckham Jr. stuff. The fact that he didn't show up. The fact that he didn't show up to OTAs.
I thought we were going to talk about the fact that he blocked Jake, but okay.
You heard about this guy?
No, what happened?
Odell Beckham blocked Jake on Twitter.
If you haven't heard about it, listen to a 2-hour show on it.
Yeah, if you go back and listen to yesterday's show, all 2 hours is talking about it.
Well, why did he block him?
It's a mystery.
A mystery.
Yeah.
You know, we had Odell's friend Mike on the program on Target yesterday. I heard,
yeah, that was funny.
At the end of the show. So you can check that out too, Scott. On your way home from the office, you can do that. Anyway, Odell Beckham doesn't show up to OTAs. And this has become one of the bigger stories in football right now, outside of, well, not outside of nothing really, because it's Odell Beckham Jr. It's coming off the Miami incident, losing the playoffs, and then your first thing after growing up and being mature and all this macho stuff, he's not showing up for OTAs.
Voluntary OTAs.
Well, that's what I want to get into, right? It is a voluntary session. He does not have to be there. He's in California hanging out with Iggy Azalea. He's hanging out with Justin Bieber. He's hanging out with Johnny Manziel. This isn't a joke. I know.
Why is he? What is Johnny Manziel still doing?
I don't know. He's getting married, actually.
Somebody's marrying Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, she's attractive.
I must be a disaster.
You ain't got as much money.
We're less rich.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, so you have Odell out there in California, and he's like, listen, you know, I'm doing my thing. I'll be there for mandatory minicamp. Yeah. I won't miss it. But of course, they get a lot of heat because he said he was going to grow up. He was going to be mature. He should do all these things. And he's not answering why he's not there, right? Now, of course, these are OCAs that are voluntary, but in many league circles, in many public circles, it's voluntary with quotations. Now, Odell Beckham isn't the only major Giant there. In fact, you could argue that the two best players on this Giants team aren't there. Odell being on the offense, Olivier Vernon on the defense. Of course, Olivier Vernon. Now, Odell Beckham makes $1 million, right? He made $10 million in his contract, $1.8 million this year. Olivier Vernon just signed a 5-year, $85 million contract with this team. And he gets workout bonuses, and if he doesn't show up to more of these things, he's going to cost himself money ultimately. Now, as a Giants fan, as the Giants fan on the panel, I think ultimately I'm annoyed. You want all your players there, but is this going to, much like the Miami incident, does this really affect anything on the field come September? No. Does this really matter with the chemistry with Eli? Like, because Odell didn't go to Duke either? No. But it's not a good look when your star player doesn't show up to two things that, you know, is team organized this offseason. I mentioned the Duke incident. You know, Eli and Payne always go to Duke, and they always throw to the wide receivers every year. Every wide receiver showed up, but Odell Beckham Jr. OTAs. Every wide receiver's there, but Odell Beckham Jr. I get it. He's a prima donna. I get it. He's a superstar, and superstars have different rules. Not a good look, Corey.
Nah, it's tough. Odell puts this is created by Mr. Beckham himself. He puts himself in a tough spot, and obviously you see the reports he's out there with Iggy and doing all this and that. It's time to become a professional athlete. You're coming up on your second contract. You're coming up on your, you know, coming out of your rookie deal. Coming on your second contract.
And this is the big contract.
Everybody knows that you're a talented player. You probably get paid as the top play, probably the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history when you do sign this new deal next offseason. So you want to see some kind of commitment from Odell Beckham that he is serious about playing football and serious about the New York Giants. Obviously, Odell Beckham right now, it looks like he's serious about his celebrity status. And I don't care if he blocks me on Twitter for saying that. I'm just telling the honest to goodness truth right here. Odell Beckham Jr. is a celebrity athlete. He has to become a professional athlete.
I look at Odell Beckham, and again, as a fan, it's just frustrating. We just talked, you literally just mentioned, Corey, that he could become the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL. I'm going to tell you this, man. If he doesn't grow up, I mean, Josh Norman comes out and says, there's going to be fines, there's going to be suspensions this year in the NFC East. I'm going after Odell, I'm going after Dez.
You don't want that action.
He's saying all this crap, and if he gets in Odell's head, he's not going to get in Dez's head. Dez is just going to be like, whatever. I can't say those words. But he gets in Odell's head, and he pulls his antics and all this crap on the field, and he acts like a baby off the field. I'm going to be honest with you. The Giants aren't going to pay him. They're going to have this long, drawn-out fight, Kirk Cousins style.
Yep.
And it's
franchise tag.
It's going to be a mess. And, Corey, you said the absolute best thing for it. It's all problems caused by Odell.
Yeah, it's him. There's nobody else doing this but him. It's his lifestyle. It's his personality. His whole thing. He plays in New York. He realizes he's a celebrity. He's bigger than the New York Giants, which you don't never want one person to be bigger than a team. Kind of feels like he's bigger than the NFL because his celebrity
was bigger than the Yankees. It worked out fine.
He won. He's a Devin Jesus, but professional athlete.
Well, with Odell Beckham Jr., though. You know, we had Paul Scheinberg here, the sports psychologist, and he says, do you really...
That's what he said.
do you really want to change who he is? Because this kind of personality, who he is, fuels who he is on the field. Mm. So I don't know if I necessarily want to change it. Maybe I'll live with all
you
the
You just
warts.
Told me if his personality fuels who he is on the field, is what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
He has to get on the field. He has to show up to the field.
When does he miss games?
He hasn't missed games, but he went to Miami before a playoff game, and now it's a voluntary workout?
They're voluntary.
He ain't there.
If he's still playing good during the regular season, who's going to remember this?
We said the same thing about Miami. Just saying. When we come back, we'll talk about the gadget players. It's the Road Rush in the Morning.
You know this song.
Is this Future?
Yeah, this is Future.
Future, right?
Yeah, you know this song,
yeah,
right here.
I know this song.
It's called Mask Off. It's the jam.
Mask Off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mask Off.
Yeah. Mask Off. So anyway,
Molly Percocet.
Yeah, there you go.
That's just those lines.
Now you know this is not allowed in the Seahawks clubhouse.
Seriously?
Yeah, you can't play Future's music in the Seahawks clubhouse.
I didn't know that.
Per Russell Wilson.
Well, I think if they do sign Colin Kaepernick, it's just going to further divide that locker room. So.
Mama, put the set.
Actually, Kaepernick and Wilson are friends, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
I think he's friends with some of the guys on the defense, too, like Bennett.
Anyway, let me ask you a question before we move on from the Odell Beckham stuff and get into the more fantasy-heavy stuff. Scotty, you mentioned that... he hasn't missed a game, obviously. Odell Beckham, yeah, he hasn't missed a game. And what happens off the field fuels him on the field.
Right.
And this isn't a big deal because it's voluntary, right?
Right.
I want to bring up your team just for a second, the Seahawks.
Sure.
Okay. If Russell Wilson, Richard Sherman, whoever the biggest name that you want to consider, either one of those guys, right?
Yeah.
Just don't wasn't here this weekend for OTAs, you wouldn't be like, it's fine, but it's a bad look. You wouldn't be...
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Walter Jones, third Seahawk in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Best offensive lineman in team history.
Yep.
Maybe of his era.
Mm-hmm.
Never showed up for OTAs. Never... hardly showed up for practices and did it every year. Marshawn Lynch didn't show up for certain workouts. Never bothered me.
Okay. All right. That's why I asked. Yeah. No problem. Let's get in to what we were talking about yesterday, gentlemen. And that is... what do we do with a player that we don't know is getting the ball, right? We always, the first two rounds of a draft, baseball, basketball, football, whatever, you are trying to hit on safety in a way. You bank on upside later, but you want to make sure you get your points. You project it out like, listen, these are the points. I know this guy's going to touch the ball X amount of times. I know he's going to get X amount of touchdowns. I can rely on that. It's safe, right? So you pick on your upside a little bit later on. Well, I'm always somebody that, I love the bell cow running back because I know he's getting the ball. I love the big-time wide receiver because I know he's getting the ball. When it comes to a guy like Tyreek Hill, and there was a ton of conversation about him last year, it was about Tyreek Hill and Ted Ginn. Those guys had monstrous games where they could put up a ton of points in a short amount of time, but there was never reliability. A couple of years ago, there's a name that you brought up yesterday, Scott. A couple of years ago, this was the talk with C.J. Spiller. A couple of years ago, it was the talk with Jamal Charles. They're not touching the ball more than 13 times a game. But when they do, they have the ability to hit it big.
I don't know if I would put Charles in that group.
Well, there was a time that Charles was in that group. I mean, I know Jake's in the
night. I don't even remember it.
That's fine.
Yeah. Charles who?
Jamal Charles.
Scott, you know how many 80, 70-yard touchdowns Jamal Charles has?
I know, but I'm saying you knew he was always the number one running back
there.
Okay. He was always getting the ball.
I understand your point. But
with Spiller, you had Fred Jackson. You know.
There is a time, and Jake Seeley certainly will admit to this as well, that, listen, he didn't need the ball 30 times a game. It wasn't a bell cow like that. That's all I'm trying to say.
He made the most of every carry.
Yes.
Yes, but he always knew he was the number one
guy. And that's
fine.
You don't have to include him in this. That's fine.
Yeah.
The point being, I have always found myself to be a little bit off on these players that I couldn't count on. And not because they're not awesome. Right?
Yeah.
But because it scared the crap out of me of them having a donut. And I said this all of last football season. I never knew what to do with Tyreek Hill. I didn't know how much to bid on Tyreek Hill. I didn't know when to start Tyreek Hill. And week in and week out, he would score. And I'd be like, there he is again. And I couldn't do anything about it. I feel that way about Tyreek Hill. I feel that way about Ted Ginn. And I feel that this way about a guy like Tavon Austin's the same thing. And a couple other guys here that we'll talk about here on the show. Let me go to you, Matt Modica, here first when it comes to Tyreek Hill.
I mean, look, he's so dynamic. He's so exciting. He's just an excellent player. But you pointed out the things. I'd rather have Ted Ginn much later because I think he is in that. He's in the perfect offense for him. His main problem is his hands and catching the damn ball. Cooks is gone. He fills in. I mean, he pretty much is going to take that role over. They got Snead. They got Thomas. You know, the tight end who I'm kind of like, on. I don't know about him. I think he's got to be better than he was last year. But I think Ted Ginn, especially in a best ball format, is definitely a guy I'm going to want to
see. I know in your NFFC draft, Tyreek Hill went in the fourth round, right?
Yeah, he was like the eighth pick in the fourth round.
Scotty, I know someone that wants to guarantee themselves points. Where are you on taking Tyreek Hill?
I'm not too in on it. And when I talk about gadget players, I also don't consider Ginn a gadget player because he's just boom or bust to me. I look back at guys like in the Percy Harvin mold. Anytime I look at a receiver who's going to take handoffs and stuff like that, to me, that's a gadget player. You know, to me, it's a guy who can do dual kinds of things but never does one particular thing well enough for me in a fantasy perspective. And those guys scare me. You look at Tyreek Hill's game log. One week he's getting a 68-yard reverse and taking for a touchdown, and the next week he's catching three catches for 21 yards. So there's certain guys that I don't want on my team. And Corey's always making a point. Tyler Lockett, you are not going to burn me again because Tyler Lockett is more valuable as a football player than he is as a fantasy player. Lockett will take a reverse, and maybe he might score a touchdown. And he's a good slot receiver for Seattle. But you cannot trust him. It goes back to Percy Harvin. This is why I'm never in on Tavon Austin, because I feel like he's an underachieving gadget player. I think maybe Tyreek Hill is an overachieving gadget player. But still, I really don't want any of these part of these guys. For where Hill goes in the fourth round, no, not consistent. And Tavon Austin, I don't want on my team, period.
All right, so you can't ignore these players. You can't do that. It's just a bad strategy to ignore these players altogether. Now, you look at the run that he went on last season, Hill. Like, he caught 65 passes for 620 yards. But he had 6 receiving touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns, and 3 touchdowns in the return game. Week 12, he hit that stretch where he just went absolutely crazy. But you look at this. 1 carry for 68 yards. That was a touchdown. The next week, 6 carries for 95 yards. One of those carries was a 70-yard touchdown. He had a game against Oakland. 6 catches for 66 yards, a 36-yard touchdown. Then he had a game where he scored a touchdown receiving, rushing, and returning a kick. So he's a dynamic player when he gets his hands on the ball. So you can't just ignore him altogether. What you have to do, in my opinion, is you have to – it's roster construction when you put a player like Tyreek Hill on your team. So if you want to say, okay, I'm going to have some exposure to Tyreek Hill this year – the way I look at it right now, the best bet to do it is the way, especially where his ADP is at right now, zero RB. Zero RB, make him your flex wide receiver. This way, you got 3 stud wide receivers, you have Hill in the flex, and then you go get your running backs a little bit later on, your PPR style running backs, or maybe you hit on a Joe Williams or a Kareem Hunt or something like that. I think that's the best way to attack Tyreek Hill in 2017 drafts.
I mean, Tyreek Hill had 6 weeks of double-digit points in a PPR format. I mean, he's got 21.5, 20.1, 32.5, 23.8. I mean, these are really nice weeks that he's been able to put up, but you just don't know. I agree with Corey in that aspect. If you're going to go the zero RB, I have to think he's going to be more involved this season. They're going to scheme up more plays. But the other problem is like in the playoff game, even if he's running down the field wide open, is Alex Smith going to throw him the damn ball?
And it's not just the wide receivers, too. It's like I consider certain running backs like gadget players when you go back to Reggie Bush starting that trend. I think guys like Gio Bernard, Darren Sproles, stuff like that, you can't trust them. And I think maybe Danny Woodhead is kind of the mold of a gadget player, but he's too consistent. I think maybe he's an exception.
Well, I don't think Danny Woodhead's a gadget player. I think these guys.
Well, gadget players to me is running backs or guys who you don't trust are going to get the ball consistently runners. And I was saying that Danny Woodhead, you think, might fit that mold. I was making that point, but he doesn't.
Well, I don't know how you don't put Ted Ginn in there then, because he's literally the same version.
He don't carry the football out the backfield.
He's just boomer bust wide receiver. That's what he is.
I understand that, but like Tyreek Hill, I understand is the gadget, like, because he can run the ball. But when you talk about boomer bust or like maybe get some carries, maybe get some touches, I put them in the same mold in the could give you a big game or couldn't. But that's not the point, right? We'll get to Ted Ginn in a second. Yeah. With Tyreek Hill, I think Corey's point was spot on. We can't ignore this guy for what he did from week 12 on, because it was, you know, number one, unheard of. Number two, extremely valuable from a fantasy football perspective. I also believe that if he gets to a point, and we say this about every player in every draft, you get to the point where you have no choice, you have to pull the trigger here. Hey, once again, I totally agree with you, Corey, in that the way to probably do it is you get three stud wide receivers, three guys that are just completely safe. You put them in a flex, and then you get these pass catching running backs, and that probably is the way to do it. And you could take him where his ADP is going around the fourth, fifth round.
Now, I'm looking at the draft board from the NFFC that Matt Medica sent over to us this morning. Now, the team that has Tyreek Hill on it has Tyreek Hill as a wide receiver three. This is a terrible team, by the way. You know what I'm saying?
It's awful.
They took Mike Evans, good, Amari Cooper, mm-hmm, and Tyreek Hill are their wide receivers 1, 2, and 3. Cooper's a little too inconsistent to be on the same team with Tyreek Hill. Yeah. His running back one on this team is Spencer Ware. He has two Kansas City Chiefs on the team.
Let me ask
Why would you go to Kansas City for your fantasy production?
Hold on, let me ask you this,
Corey.
Let me ask you this. I'm looking at teammate here. Right? I'm looking at teammate, okay? They draft Mike Evans in the first round.
Love it.
Okay? In the second round, coming back the other way, obviously, let's say they take Dez Bryant over Amari Cooper.
Okay? I like that better.
It's fine. So now you have Evans and Bryant, two legit wide receiver ones as your 1-2, okay? Stick with your strategy. Now, does this have the LT rule in this?
Yes, it reversed. Mm-hmm.
All right, so this reversed. So that means in the third round, he can draft either
Demaryius Thomas was
Demaryius
there.
Thomas, Sammy Watkins,
Julian Edelman.
Lamar Miller as well. Even.
Oh, God.
Okay, hold on. Forget Julian Edelman. Let's just say Demaryius Thomas or Sammy Watkins for these purposes, because that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
If he drafts Demaryius Thomas with Evans and Dez, and then picks Hill as a
That's perfect.
There you go. All right. That's the Tyreek Hill conversation. I want to move to a couple of other players that may not have the pizzazz behind them that Hill has, but very similar. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way right after this here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and streaming live on the Fantasy Sports Network. We gave you the perfect answer, I think, on when to take a guy like Tyreek Hill. The ultimate problem, I think, is, okay, you're not relying on him every week. You got your three wide receivers, your wide receiver one, your wide receiver two. Here, you got Tyreek Hill in the flex, which is cool. Problem is, and the problem I always have with gadget players, Scotty, is that I never know when he's going to pop off. Like, you're right. Everyone at this table is right. Like, he could put up a 30-point game, and he could put up a zero. I don't know when I'm getting which.
That's the problem with it. And, you know, although I don't consider guys like Ted Ginn Jr. like a gadget player, that's more like we get into a DeSean Jackson conversation. Those are inconsistent wide receivers. With the gadget player, there's no rhyme or reason prior to you setting your lineup. You can't look at the matchup, and you never know how Andy Reid is going to scheme it up exactly to get Hill involved. So that's the kind of guy, you put him in your lineup, he gets you a zero, and then you say, you know what, maybe I should have benched him. And he goes off. It's the kind of guy that absolutely drives you crazy fantasy-wise. And you got enough stress fantasy-wise where, look, I'm not telling you not to take Hill because of that. But, you know, a guy like that just purely adds a lot of fantasy stress to you.
I mean, I'd rather have DeSean Jackson over him. I don't think it's close. I'd rather, especially in that offense that he's in. For me, that would be the choice there. I mean, Terrell Pryor went two picks later. I'd rather have Terrell Pryor in Washington than Tyreek Hill. But, I mean, hey, look, I agree. The way Corey laid it out, I think, was perfect. I'm going to make my pick now, and he took Spencer Ware, which is, I think, the biggest thing for me in his draft was, you know, why take Ware there? I'm not a Ware guy, obviously, and you'll see by my next pick.
Yeah.
But he also went with two quarterbacks. Obviously, you can't make pickups in season in this. But I think it was too early to go with two quarterbacks.
Yeah, and there's the other side of it, too, though. A guy like Hill, there's always weeks in fantasy football where your star players don't deliver like they should.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, here comes Tyreek Hill swooping in to save your week.
100%. Yeah. And that happens. And
the unpredictability is just greater than a lot of other players, though.
So now I'm in the eighth pick with the seventh round. I don't have a quarterback yet.
Who do you have so far?
Who do I have so far on my team? Yeah. My team is Beckham, Baldwin, Watkins, Mixon, Martavis Bryant, Danny Woodhead.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You considering quarterback here at all?
Well, I mean,
at this point,
I really don't want to take a quarterback here. But the fact that there are no in-season pickups would be the reason. But I'm not going to take a quarterback. I just wanted to hear anybody's thoughts on that, being with that caveat.
I would say like how many you start three wide receivers, two and a flex, and this is your seventh pick,
right? Three wide receivers, one flex, tight end, two running backs, and a quarterback. And yeah, the lineups are set for you. It's most points. You don't have to set a lineup.
Best ball?
Yeah, you don't have to set.
Me personally, knowing that Woodhead always wanted would get hurt, although I do somewhat like the pick, I might want to go another running back here.
I have a running back that I'm going to take here. Would you take I'm still probably going to take my guy, but I want to hear your philosophy. Would you take LeGarrette Blount in this spot with the Eagles and his newfound home there? There's guys like Piran on the board, Dixon. I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt. I believe in Kareem Hunt.
Sam Piran in D.C.
Oh, Piran. I thought you were going P hyphen Ron.
And, even like Dixon, I own... Hold on, let me get back here. I own Woodhead. Danny Woodhead got that job for the first 4 weeks.
Dixon a little bit later on. Who else are you considering?
I have some wide receivers here. We're not going to mention them, but I mean,
aren't Dixon and
there's a handful
Dixon
of them
and Woodhead, like, when they're both on the field, they're going to complement each other.
Though. I don't think Woodhead's going to be on the field.
Yeah, but look,
he's gonna get hurt.
I'm going to go with healthy,
the every
though,
other year aspect that he plays the 16 games. So hopefully he's too good when he is on the field for me not to take him in the sixth round of a PPR. That's my opinion. I think what he puts out when he's out there is just so damn good. It would be like saying, I'm not going to take Keenan Allen this year because he's been hurt the last two. When he's out there on the field, he produces.
You don't want to draft scared.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, so I'm going Kareem Hunt here. Is that a bad pick in your opinion? Good pick?
I think it's a good pick. And he'd be your RB what?
RB3.
He'd be your third running back. He's a bench guy on his team, right?
Bench flex. Yeah, you know, bench whatever flex. I want to do, and then, move him in and out.
And then later on in the season when he pops, he'll optimize and he'll get in the lineup. Yeah, we know how Andy Reid liked to run that offense. He's probably the most productive guy still left on the board. Where did Tevin Coleman go?
Well, I'm so happy, brother, before you answer that question.
Yeah.
I'm really happy, brother, because that's exactly where I wanted to go next. We talked about Tyreek Hill, who's going in the middle of the end of the fourth round, wherever you look. And Tevin Coleman's an extremely interesting name because he's a guy that week to week, you have no idea what you were getting from. No. Everybody at this table loves Devontae Freeman. I don't want to speak for you, Scotty. I know that Matt and Corey were pretty high on Devontae Freeman.
I like him a lot. I think he's a first round pick.
Okay. Yeah. So we're all pretty high on Devontae Freeman. And he's angling for this new contract. But of course, Tevin Coleman, when he plays and he is healthy, he has a role. He 100% has a role. And it's actually very hard to kind of discern who's going to get the red zone touches. It really just totally switches off however Atlanta feels. Now, Tevin Coleman kind of fits this mold, I think, of what we are talking about, that's going to get carries, that's going to pop off, that's going to have a large amount of yak. But again, the reliability is absolutely in question. So, Matt, where did Tevin Coleman go?
In the sixth round, Tevin Coleman went with the second pick. Mm-hmm. I had the fifth pick in this. The guys I were looking at were Coleman, Lacey, and Woodhead. Those were the three guys I was hoping to obtain here. I'm, be honest with you, really happy with Woodhead because I know he is. I mean, I love the captain check down with Flacco there. They didn't go out and get wide receivers. Is Dennis Pitta going to be targeted as much? I'm not sure, especially with a guy like Woodhead there. So, I mean, I would have been fine with Coleman here in the sixth round. I think that's, it's worth it. Especially in the PPR format there. And even Eddie Lacy. I think Eddie Lacy in the sixth round is a really good value. Much as everybody hates him, when he's on the field, I mean, for a big guy, he's even still pretty elusive. So he does put up points when he plays.
Yeah, here's the thing about Lacy. And Michael Robinson pointed to this on NFL.com. What Seattle's trying to do is to get back to that physical, smash-mouth type of running game that they had a few years ago. Now, Lacy could go one of two ways. He could hit, and he could be that guy where he's a big part of the offense, or, because the weight, the injuries, it could completely go the other way. Well, I think what's interesting about you picking Hunt right there is I think Ware's going to bust, and Hunt's going to be the guy, and I agree with you, and you're going to take him one pick after the guy took Ware, and he's going to regret it.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of factors. Like you said, Andy Reid, this is like the highest pick he's made on a running back. This guy played for a smaller school, so he didn't get the recognition. But if you, I mean, reading up on him, watching some film on him, he seems like a perfect Andy Reid fit too. And Spencer Ware, as excited as we were last season, he tapered off.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm not buying it. I'm not saying Hunt's going to walk in week one and it's his job and his job only. No. But I do think there will be packages for him. There will be plays set up. And I do think as the season goes on, it's going
to
be him.
What you see NFL teams do this a lot, to your point, is that they'll bring in the kid, right? But they'll have the veteran in case the kid doesn't work out or isn't ready, so they can fall back on the veteran. And a lot of times it's just about when is the kid ready to make the most of his upside.
Yeah, and like you said, you got a team that's not throwing the ball down the field. I mean, as long as Alex Smith is at the helm, they're just not going to do it. I mean, maybe in the future that'll change with the rookie they drafted. But I don't see a hell of a lot changing in Kansas City this season, especially they still have a good defense. They're, you know,
Mahomes has to adapt to the pro game in certain ways, as much as I like him.
And especially with Travis Kelce. I mean, look what he did down the stretch. I mean, he was getting 100-yard games left and right. Alex Smith loves him. I mean, he really is a guy that I'm not taking Gronk number. I know what Gronk gives you. And I do love Jordan Reed. But Kelce was the second. He's the first tight end off the board here. And I kind of agree with that. As much as I do love Jordan Reed, Kelce is not the injury risk that these other guys are.
He's not. He has his ups and downs. He battles too. But his most pressing fantasy problem is the fact that his quarterback is Alex Smith, the bus driver. We're sitting up here talking about Tevin Coleman, right? And I come up on the clock in the mock draft and took Tevin Coleman by accident. I meant to take Christian McCaffrey, and I selected Tevin Coleman.
Well, that's interesting.
Did you just email the commissioner?
I did.
Let's bring up Christian McCaffrey here for a second, then. I think Christian McCaffrey is a very interesting name.
Yeah.
I think an argument can be made that you should take Tevin Coleman over Christian McCaffrey, in all honesty.
You know what? Coleman is going. It's enough for Coleman in the offense. It's sure. enough. And Sarkisian is known for 1,000-yard running backs, but that was in college. But we know that the majority of what Shanahan put in place is going to be in place. So Tevin Coleman is in that tier with guys like McCaffrey and Ty Montgomery and players like that. So it's not a terrible pick, but you can get Tevin Coleman a little bit later on.
I like McCaffrey.
Especially in the standard.
I like McCaffrey better for certain. Coleman, you can't trust on a week-to-week basis.
I disagree with that, Scott.
I think McCaffrey is going to be more of an axis of this offense than Coleman will be with Atlantis. I think they're going to get the ball in his hands a lot. Jonathan Stewart, I think the fade's going to start. This kid's going to be a playmaker. He's versatile. I think you'll be able to trust him for sure more than Kevin.
It's very interesting.
Points per game, he was running back 13 in points per game.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a consistent week-to-week basis.
You talk about consistency.
That's points per game. That's consistency.
Points per game is not consistency. That's overall divided. That's not game by game.
You talk about consistency and certainty. Christian McCaffrey's never stepped foot on the field in the NFL. I know you always talk about that.
You know what? I don't say it anymore. I was wrong for saying that.
Okay.
You know, just because the guy hasn't played yet doesn't mean I can't foresee a big role for him.
Okay. I just think with Christian McCaffrey, there's other guys there.
Who?
Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah.
Don't hit. At the goal line, you got Cam Newton. You got Jay Stu.
Oh. Besides the goal line, the yards are going to be big. This guy's going to remind you of Brian Westbrook.
We'll see. But when we come back, it's time to go to the baseball field. The Diamond is Roto Experts at the Park. We talk to Cole Calhoun when we return here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. I love baseball coming your way. You're now number two. A lot of stuff from last night we should get to. We'll play one more Choose Your Own Adventure because it's Friday. Wrap up the week with that. But first, before we get into diving all that, we head to the park with you, sir, Scott Engel. I know you can catch up with a lot of the Angels this week. Matty Shoemaker, Jesse Chavez, which I listened to yesterday. Thanks for the shout-out, Scott. I appreciate that. And you had an opportunity to catch up with Cole Calhoun.
Yeah, and Calhoun's off to a slow start. I pointed out to him last year. You know, that his strikeout rate was down, his walk rate was up. Also, the fact that he skipped Double A, when he was in the minors. That's something else. And also that he had a core muscle surgery during the offseason, which one baseball insider said to me might hurt his production early in the year. And that's, unfortunately, that's been the case. And he's hit just 215, but he does have 5 home runs and 19 RBIs. So here's some of what Cole Calhoun told me in regard to those topics.
Not necessarily. I mean, I've always had pretty good plate discipline and got away from that a little bit in 15 and tried to get back to it in 16. And, you know, it's kind of the constant battle. Homers are down, but so were strikeouts. On base was better. I mean, it's like, what do you want to do, you know? So just try to find some consistency and get on base. That's it.
Yeah, so that's him talking about the strikeout rate being down last year and the walk rate being up. And this year, the walk rate is down. The strikeout rate is up to back up to 22.3. He's hitting just 215, but his BABIP is 258. When I did my insider report, in the preseason, talking to one baseball insider, he says it's really tough to come back from that core muscle surgery. So Calhoun, you might not see the best numbers from him until the second half.
Cole Calhoun's been dropped in all my leagues. I'm just not interested in picking him up.
I think it's a health thing from what I've spoken to people. And later in the year, I think you might see the real Cole Calhoun.
You know, maybe that's true. But given where we are in the standings, given that it's May 26th, I can't have
you. You playing it, again, it's context, too. It's like you playing a head-to-head league, so I understand where you're coming
even
from.
Even still, if you were in a 12-team roto league, I'm in a 12-team roto league as well. He's available in this league.
Right.
I'm not having this guy hurt my statistics week in, week out
right
now. I
totally understand it. What I'm saying is we might be looking at picking up Calhoun later in the year. Because I don't think this is
you
could
say about 500 MLB players.
I don't think you could say that, that about 500 MLB players.
That maybe we'll pick up a guy later in the year?
I'm giving you reasons behind it,
I would have him on my watch list. I think he's a guy that once he starts getting hot, I would look to Ed.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to have Danny Espinosa on your watch list. I'm not telling you Danny Espinosa is going to bounce back. I'm saying there's a legitimate, you look at his past production, I think there's a legitimate physical health reason why he's not performing like he is. And I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, of course he's cut,
sure.
But I'm also agreeing with Matt. Okay. You keep him on your watch list, I think we might see the real Cole Calhoun later in the year, and he could help you down the stretch.
Okay, fair enough. Try to get out of this monstrous funk that he's in, and maybe come back to a little bit toward where he was drafted, what he was drafted for over the last couple of years.
Look at the BABIP, too.
Yeah, absolutely. BABIP, much lower than it probably should be.
Yeah, it's 258. In career, it's 304.
I'm sorry. I just had something just popped in my mind, and then it came out verbally.
Let's put a bow.
It often happens.
It was fantasy related, but not. It doesn't tie into Cole Calhoun.
What does it tie into?
Huh?
Is it baseball or football? Really?
I got a draft next Thursday night. That's also game one of the finals.
Now, is it an in-person draft?
No.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, I know, but still, you know.
you can multitask.
Yeah, you're right.
Game probably starts at like 9:30.
And then the draft probably starts around 8.
Can you pat your head and rub your belly at the same time?
He definitely rubbed his belly, I'll tell you that much. There it is.
Yeah, you can go see. He's a multitask. He's doing it.
Look at that.
I was doing something else, too.
But we couldn't see that.
This stupid giggle of Corey Parson.
Oh, man.
We're going to come back.
I'm stretching.
I have one NBA note, and we're getting into baseball from last night and Choose Your Own Adventure. Hour number 2 of the Road Experts coming your way next.
There you go, Scotty.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number 2 of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive, the King, Scott Angle, Matty Modica here as well. It's a Friday. He's Mike Lyon. Coming up 9:39 a.m. Eastern Time. How's that for exactness?
I like it.
I like that, right? All right.
Very good.
A basketball note before we get into Choosing Your Adventure for baseball. Magic Johnson stated that no one is untouchable for the Lakers. outside of Brandon Ingram, which I found kind of interesting, Corey. Because Brandon Ingram had a bit of an inconsistent year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know he said that.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't trying to figure out why Brandon Ingram would be untouchable.
Hey, they think he obviously was number two overall pick last year.
And yeah.
They saw potential and he can play every position, basically.
So, well, there you go right there. If that's the way a piece like that on the basketball team is good.
But you don't think the bigger story is that, like,
nobody's untouchable?
Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Russell's gone.
To the Knicks.
Oh, God, please don't do
why?
That.
Why? What's wrong with D'Angelo Russell? He's young.
Yeah, he's a good player, but I don't.
He's still gonna grow.
Yeah, that's not exciting to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I can get into it, man.
I like him. I don't like that incident, but I like the player.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Be an improvement.
Jordan Clarkson would be cool too.
I wanted that second pick because if he trade that second pick, LaVar Ball gonna lose his mind.
Ball's gonna work out for the Sixers,
know, right?
Now.
Well, yeah. The interesting thing is LaVar Ball has said his son Lonzo will not work out for the team with the number one pick, the Celtics. He will work out for the Lakers. And as Scott mentioned, he said he'll work out for Philadelphia
as well.
Yeah, but
they want to meet with the Sixers first to decide the direction of the team.
I gotta say, this guy's got some huevos.
That's what LeVar said?
Yeah.
Somebody needs to slap this guy. They don't want it.
No, I feel you.
maybe it should be you, man.
He's a big boy, though. He's a big dude. Yeah, I know. Yes.
Maddie's got some guns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what you watch on TV. You always see, you know, Matt, when he's speaking, he feels really good about something.
Oh,
he
kind of
like pumps his arms out. You know, he's like, this guy's got a really good fit. I really like him.
Oh, he wants to see the direction. He wants to talk about the direction of the team.
That is really off the charts.
Like, yeah,
Seriously.
It really is.
What is this guy's NBA experience?
Nothing.
Right?
What is his agent experience?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. His whole thing is keep it in the family. So people gonna look at this man like he's crazy. But you know what I'm saying? They gonna look at him like he's crazy, and I'm just sitting up here like, this dude is really gonna go sit down with the general manager and ask him about the direction of the team. But still, I think Lonzo goes to the Lakers at two, and LaVar's just trying to keep his name out there.
Question: do you think LaVar Ball walks on stage with Lonzo?
No.
That'd be fun.
Just shuts on stage. Love it. When we return, Corey Parson, you choose your adventure the next half hour. Let's go. Keep it rolling. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Get jiggy with it.
Do you ever look at a fantasy lineup and you see your opponent, headset of course, your opponent is starting Junior Guerra against Arizona and you're like, yeah.
That's a good job.
That's a good feeling.
Hey, if they was to
is
make
it
a,
in Arizona?
No, it's
in Milwaukee. Yeah.
If they was to make a life story on Russell Wilson, Will Smith should play Russell Wilson.
Oh, I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yep. Getting jiggy with it.
Scotty wants to play Pete Carroll.
Who would play Tony Romo?
Matt Damon to play Tony Romo.
Matt Damon's too successful.
You a hater.
Let's choose our own adventure. Talking about baseball, huh?
Let's do it.
All right, Corey, here it is. Here are your choices for this morning. Braun Strowman, future WWE Universal Champion, Mr. McMahon, or Alonzo Mourning?
Give me Zoe Mourning.
Zoe Mourning.
Hoyer Destroyer.
Has to do with Ben Zobrist, Zoe, and truly turning it on over the last couple of days. What's the eyes for?
What? Because it's a great point.
Oh, thank you. Zobrist is leading. Since leading off, it's totally changed everything. Matt, Scotty, you guys both said, listen, this is where he should be from the beginning. Not hitting cleanup, get him going, the on-base percentage. And even though Kyle Schwarber is still batting two, he hasn't turned it around so much. Kyle Schwarber yesterday was 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, which wasn't even the worst 0-for performance in strikeouts. We'll get to that in a moment. Ben Zobrist yesterday, leading off 3-for-4, a run, a ribby, average at .266, OBP at .354. His sixth home run of the year. Corey, this is exactly what you expect when you draft Edge.
Exactly.
Norvish.
He plays to the back of the baseball card. You 100%. Know what he can do with his position eligibility. It's something that you love. He's very serviceable for fantasy. He's a cross-category player. Not really going to give you too much in the steals department, though, but he'll come in nice ranges in all the other categories. Now, the fact that he's playing less may turn some people off, but playing less could actually keep him fresher throughout the course of the season so he can be available and not do these little 10-day DL stints. So I rock with Ben Zobrist. He's somebody I like to keep in my back pocket.
Well, as you guys know, I drafted Ben Zobrist, and I find it really interesting because when it comes to Zobrist, I just read you the numbers, right? 266, he's got six, got a bunch of ribbies, a bunch of runs scored. I don't expect him, Scott, to bat 300 or 330. No. What he has given me now, since he's turned it around, is pretty much what I drafted him for. Corey's right. Look at the back of the baseball card. This is it.
Now, back early in his career, you drafted Zobrist because he had marvelous position eligibility. And he gave you versatility in a lot of categories. This guy is key part of two championship teams the last few years. Mm-hmm. And he gives you the fantasy numbers as well, doing it in real life. And he's really heated up lately. He has three homers in his last four games. He only had three up until the last four the entire season. This is how much the guy heated up. He's the ideal leadoff hitter, the ideal middle infielder for you, a really nice piece later in the draft. And there are a lot of people who always talk about his age, yet he continues to get it done every year.
But why do his ADP be close to 200, though?
Because people look at his age and they're always expecting the decline, and he's not quite what he used to be in terms of the speed. Zobrist used to give you speed. Now he doesn't really give you that.
Well, Zorilla is a Joe Maddon favorite. Mm-hmm. And Zorilla. I think, you know, as the season progresses, he'll play more and more, get ready for the playoffs. I mean, for the Cubs, it's all about the playoffs. This team will be there. They'll win that division handily. I really don't see anybody else competing with them there. So he's a guy that, you know, you just got to be patient with. There's still four more months. So, you know, I know everybody gets excited if they're in first place. You still got four more months. Or if you're in the middle of the pack, there's plenty of time. That's why you got to keep grinding every day.
I'll tell you this, though, about Ben Zobrist. As an owner of Ben Zobrist, three home runs in 4 days, back of the baseball card, all that, I'm going to try to trade him this week.
Not a bad idea.
For, he's a Joe Maddon favorite, but Scotty, you mentioned perfectly, dude's 36 years old, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't play every day, and it's very annoying. If you don't have daily changes, it is the worst thing ever with Ben Zobrist, because he sits at least twice a week. The goal to keep him fresh, because you're right, Matt, the goal is October, not May. And he's hot right now, he'll slump again. I'm going to see what's out there for Ben Zobrist and try to sell
dangle
a little bit high.
Dangle it.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
Yesterday for the Cubs, Kyle Schwarber, as I mentioned, went over 4 with 4 strikeouts. But Chris Bryant behind him, he hit his 11th homer of the year, while you also had Jason Hayward hit his 5th homer of the year. And those are all, you know, those are all the runs that the Shark let up. Seven innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, of course, all coming on 3 solo home runs. 8 K's for Samardzija, who drops to 1-6.
Did he walk anybody?
He walked one guy.
That's like the first guy that he's walked this month. But one thing with Samardzija, though, is that, you know, the long ball's biting him. He's given up 10 of them, and this was his second three-homer game of the season.
Yeah, no, he's given up the home run ball, but I mean, it is against the Cubs.
That's the only negative.
Wrigley.
Sure.
I mean, 8 strikeouts to 1 walk, I think, for the month of May. That made him 44 strikeouts to 1 walk. That's pretty amazing.
First walk of the month.
He pretty much pitches at least 7 innings every game. I mean, if we look at Jose Barrios and his start the other day, he gave up 3 solo home runs. And people were like, you know what? That was a good start. He went into Baltimore. Yeah,
because
and it was
they
good.
They were all solo shots, like you said. And, you know, he was able to dodge it. You know, and both of them has pitched well enough to where, like, the homers are not hurting them in a big way.
You know, I mean, I'm still, as much as I've talked about Samardzija, he could turn around and be god-awful like he was in last June and July. I mean, he had 2 months. Last season, it was kind of like a 3 chapters for him. 2 really good months, 2 horrific months, and then 2 good months. So he's got talent, but he could also turn around and, you know, totally wreck your ratios.
And the Cubs have homered at least twice in each of their last 5 games.
There you go. How about that? Eddie Butler goes 5 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. 2 through 69 pitches. 69 pitches in 5 innings. And he hit in the inning before and he got taken out.
I'm praying that those 4 innings by Mike Montgomery is the beginning of him entering the fifth man.
Four-inning save, and there were two of them in the majors yesterday. Ryu was the other one.
Good for Hyunjin Ryu. Interestingly enough, Butler and Montgomery combined to strike out one guy.
Yeah, that was the one thing. I think he allowed like one hit, one walk, but that's zero strikeouts.
He's never been a strikeout guy.
All right. Scotty, would you like to choose the next adventure?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Braun Strowman, Mr. McMahon, or Odubel K. Era? Wonder who that's about.
I wonder who that's about. We'll go Odubel K. Era.
Well, that's about Hunter Renfrow. I'm just kidding. It's not Hunter Renfrow.
I had a good Hunter Renfrow stat. I'm ready for it.
You were just like, what?
Yeah.
Odubel Herrera yesterday.
Why would that be about Hunter Renfrow?
No, it was the joke. Odubel Herrera yesterday, he goes 0 for 5, Corey.
Again?
With 5 strikeouts.
Oh, man.
That was the first time in his career he ever struck out 4 times in a game. Ever.
What was the last time someone went 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts? Yeah, that stat for me?
I do.
That's got to be a deflating feeling. And that's, you want this guy on your team. I'm glad you know you don't have him.
He was getting booed yesterday.
That's worse than a golden sombrero.
Correct. It's a platinum sombrero. So, Odubel, I told you, he was offered to me for Coda Glover, and I turned it down. Big Coda Glover guy now. Amazing how in 1 week I could totally change my opinion.
I made you believe.
You did. All right. So, with Odubel Herrera, over 5 with 5 strikeouts yesterday, bang, 226, OBP at 275. In front of me, gentlemen, I have the players that have had the most strikeouts in the month of May. I will tell you this. Odubel Herrera is not on the list. The person that has the most in the majors is 35 strikeouts. I want the top 5 guys. Scott, you're first. Can you name one?
Justin Upton.
Justin Upton, number 4. That is correct. 32 strikeouts.
Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo, number 1 overall at 35 strikeouts. Corey Parsons.
I don't really know who be striking out like that. Somebody's striking out a lot. Byron Buxton.
No, sir.
Oh,
Scotty.
Darn it.
Jay Bruce.
No, sir.
Jim Broxton.
No, sir. How dare you?
Striking out a lot. Ed E.
Not Ed E.
Eric Thames.
Not Eric Thames either.
Danny Espinosa.
Nor is it Danny Espinosa. We begin at number 2. Bet 240 this month. Got 7 home runs this month. That's Chris Davis with a C. Chris Davis has struck out 33 times.
That's the big fella.
It's the big fella. With a C, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Scotty, number 3 overall. Byron Buxton's teammate, Miguel Sano.
Oh, I like Miguel Sano. Too bad he strike out so much.
33 strikeouts. Although, 282 average.
Yeah.
Strike out 33 times.
Yeah, his batting is still like 450
4 homers from Miguel Sano. Justin Upton, you named. And then number 5 here was Tim Beckham Jr. 31 strikeouts, 256 average, 3 homers. I don't know that he's a junior. It just seemed to make sense.
By the way, on Odubel Herrera, he's hitting 226. His BABIP is just 296, but only 3 home runs, only 4 stolen bases. Big disappointment.
Tim Green Beckham.
Do you want to talk about not disappointments? When we come back, we're going to talk about who got the win for Philadelphia yesterday.
Little disco, Scotty.
And we'll give you a hint, Corey. It was Jenmar.
Oh, my man.
Jenmar! Improves to 3-1. We'll talk about the Phils on the other side of the break. We're going to for the morning. Continues after this. Okay, we are back here on the Road to Experts in the morning. And Jenmar Gomez just threw his 3rd win of the year last night. What just a fantastic performance.
How about that?
Big fan of Jenmar. Good for him. Perhaps the bigger story was about Vinny Velasquez. 5 innings, 8 hits, 1 run. And after basically saying he had no idea what the hell was wrong with him, pitched pretty well. 7 strikeouts, threw 94 pitches in 5 innings. But that's kind of what Vinny Velasquez does.
That's who Vinny Velasquez is.
Good start against Colorado.
He's going to give up 7 runs his next time out.
probably.
Yeah.
Trevor Story had his seventh homer of the year, though. That that accounted for the only run against Vincent Velasquez. For Story, batting 188 now on the season. Of course, he just returned from the disabled list.
He's been hot since he got back from the DL, too. You know, maybe that bad start was just health-related, I'm starting to think.
Tyler Anderson, 7 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, walked 2. He struck out 7. And, you know, I didn't know that Adam Ottavino wears number 0. I didn't know that.
Adam Ottavino had a couple of crazy good sliders yesterday.
Good sliders.
He really
Jose
is.
Jose
so
Barrios like.
Yeah, he gets overlooked because of what Greg Holland's doing. I mean, rightfully so. Holland's
the whole bullpen has been just a tremendous year out there for Colorado. All righty, Manny Bonica. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Braun Strowman. Let me try that again. Braun Strowman.
All right.
Mr. McMahon, we're liar, liar.
Let's go liar, liar.
Liar, liar.
Does anyone have anything to do with liar, liar has to do with? The goddamn Mets.
Oh, God.
So Jake DeGrom yesterday was pushed back because they were scared of the rain. I'd like you, we're on, of course, the Fantasy Sports Network here. I would like you to raise your hand if you believe he was pushed back because of the rain. For those listening on the radio, only one person put up his hand.
And you know who it was.
And it wasn't the executive. Yeah. It wasn't Matt Modica. And it wasn't me. It was the king.
It was the New York Met. Russell Wilson shill Scott the King Engel.
I will say this, it was
the
a delayed
loyal
hand
fan
up.
And not the bandwagon jumper, the golden fake
it
warrior.
It was a delayed hand up. It went up slowly, but he put it up there. Scotty, you believe that Jake DeGrom was actually pushed back because of the rain?
I think it was part of the reason. Now, you know, listening to the pregame, they made a good point. You don't want to take your ace and waste him if there's going to be a rain delay or a rain out, and that's why I raised my hand. It made sense to me. Also, give him more rest because of the blister, I think. Those two combinations and factors, it made sense to me.
I mean, if he was healthy, and we're facing the Padres, and this season's spiraling out of control, we needed that win. I'm hoping that the blister is healed. That's what they were kind of saying on the broadcast. They were promoting that. I mean, I did turn away to watch Game 7, I'll be honest, and went back and forth. But I tweeted out yesterday, I would not be shocked if Jacob DeGrom was, say, scratched tonight and put on the 10-day DL.
Rain! It's the rain! He's going to... It's going
to
rain tonight.
So what happens
in New
York? If it rains tonight? Yeah, exactly. So it's not tonight.
It's such a joke! It's supposed to rain tonight!
They're not in New York tonight.
Crap!
They're not in New York tonight. They're in Pittsburgh.
Even worse, it's going to pour in Pittsburgh.
I'll say this. And you guys erroneously call me positive Met fan.
Not erroneously.
No, erroneously.
That is a fact, Scott.
Erroneously. It's not a fact.
Positive Met fan.
I'm not a fact because I'm once again about to prove you wrong. When I saw Rafael Montero on the mound yesterday, I almost wanted to go to Citi Field and get Jacob DeGrom and push him on the mound myself.
No, you hate Rafael Montero. You're a positive Met fan, but you hate Rafael Montero.
Every Met fan hates Rafael Montero.
I'm balanced.
You're not balanced. You're positive.
It's the rest of the fan base is doom and gloom, and I'm not.
No, because you are saying that you balance the doom and gloom by being positive. That's what you have said.
I'm a balanced Met fan. I'm not positive. Nor-
you believe the Mets BS about Jake DeGrom. You know that's BS.
No, what I'm saying is it made sense to me. Why are you going to throw your ace out there when you don't even know if you're going to complete the game?
You don't know the same thing about today. It's pretty good important. We're looking at Pittsburgh weather right now. It's supposed to rain all day today. I'm not even kidding.
I admitted I also thought, you know, that they push him back another day because of the blister, too.
Right, which is the real reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's both of those reasons.
I mean, Dr. A even mentioned that to us.
Correct. On Wednesday. So. 100%. Last night for the Metropolitan, Rafael Montero predictably loses. Three runs in 3 innings.
45 pitches in the first inning.
He could not locate the plate. He walked in a run. It was horrible.
But on the other side of things, Denelson Lamet. Huh?
Lamet.
Beat the Mets!
Yeah.
5 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. His debut is Denelson Lamet, Matt Modica, someone we should care about.
You know what? As I said, I was switching back and forth to Game 7 of the hockey, and every time I turned back to the Met game, a Met was getting struck out on what looked like to be a nasty pitch. And I believe this kid was pitching in like the PCL.
Yeah, and he was. Doing and he had really like a 3.40 ERA. Yeah.
So he wasn't somebody that was on my radar before, but he has quickly become a person of interest, a person that I'll be doing a deep dive later on today. And I think everybody else should just, you know, just be looking. He pitches in San Diego. What are San Diego's other options out there, too?
Now, here's two things. Number one, I said, okay, the Mets are already going to lose because every time a young, unproven pitcher comes up and faces the Mets, he beats them. But the other thing is that with the Met kid, this was the best Padres debut in terms of strikeouts since 1977. And you look at the minor league numbers, he strikes out a lot. But control is also an issue, but you got to take a flyer on him.
He really...
Number nine rated prospect in the organization.
He really owned Michael Conforto last night. Conforto could not...
He struck out Conforto three times.
That first at-bat, which I did see, that 98 was just... That was cheddar. It was easy cheddar going right up there. And, you know.
By the way, 2 days in a row, Brandon Marr in the eighth, Brad Hand in the ninth. Both those guys let it runs last night.
Well, they're saying Hand's... on the block right now. A lot of teams are interested.
A little showcase here at Brad Hand, maybe?
Yeah, saving the game 2 days in a row.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah.
You can showcase. Listen, he can close. He can be in the eighth. He can do all this stuff. Little showcase. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Corey Parson, you're up.
Yo, it's my turn.
It's your turn. Here we go. Your choices are Braun Strowman, Mr. McMahon, or Ray of Light.
Mr. McMahon.
Mr. McMahon has to do with James McCann. Close enough. James McCann, the catcher for the Detroit Tigers, left last game with a left hand laceration. He's already hit the DL, and he is out for at least the next 10 days. So if you own McCann, you're going to have to replace him. Of course, wasn't off to a very good start, batting 200, but two catcher leagues, all these guys are kind of valuable. Alex Avila, who's off to a much better start, hotter start, batting 350 with a 480 on base percentage. He's now going to play every day, you would think, in the catcher's role. For Detroit last night, they lost the Astros by the score of 7-6.
That might make him get hurt playing all them days as a catcher.
Could. Yeah. It could. But my question for you, Corey, has to do with a man that threw to James McCann last night, Justin Verlander. 5 2/3, 9 hits, 6 runs he allowed, 3 walks, he struck out 4, allowed 3 home runs. We keep waiting for Verlander to turn it around. We haven't seen it, Corey.
Nah, so far he's not matching the dominance that he put up last year, so he's going to have to keep trying to turn it around. I think his next matchup is against the Chiefs. His next matchup is against the Royals. Yeah, his next matchup is against the Royals, so maybe he starts to settle in there. Still, I look at the older pitcher, still this time of the year, you still wanted to get warm out there in the Midwest and stuff like that, so I think that Verlander will get rolling. I'm not in panic mode for Verlander yet, but I do think that I would be monitoring his starts closely, because what we're seeing from him right now is he's striking people out, and he's striking people out, and he's still getting and he still has his velocity. That's not an issue, but he's giving up too many home runs, and his command is struggling so far this season.
Now, you say when the weather gets warmer, we're going to see more home runs. That's got to scare you with Verlander. last night, Corey, was just the second time in his career that he allowed 3 home runs in an inning.
It's taking him a little time. He's going to get it together, though.
But if it gets warmer and the ball starts flying, that's not good.
But then his body will still get – his body will start feeling better, too.
I'm just hoping that Verlander figures it out. He figured it out early last May. Now we're at the end of May. The home road splits are stark. On the road, he is just – I mean, I saw the box line. It was 3-0 Tigers. I was excited after 3, even though he didn't have a strikeout at that point in time. I was like, okay, you know. And like I said, Scott said he gave up 3 runs, 3 home runs in the 4th.
But he was going against the Astros, though.
Yeah,
hit.
But it's just on the road. Still, he's been horrific on the road. But this is a guy that can put it together. We've seen him do it on other occasions. The other season when he came back, he had a great run towards the end of the season. Last season, post-All-Star break, he had like a 199 ERA. So there is still hope to be had.
And just a note, Justin Upton came in last night 0 for his last 17 and had a big night, including his ninth homer. When we talk about streaky power hitters, Justin Upton is one of those guys. he might be about to go on a bench.
Just enough to do that, as you just said, ninth home run of the season last night. JD Martinez, in like a week, hit his seventh. Now, JD Martinez is a 540 OBP in the month of May. That is second in baseball. I have a list in front of me of the top five OBPs in the month of May. King, we know JD Martinez is number two. Can you name any of the top four, the rest of the top four?
Tommy Joseph.
No, sir. Could have guessed that.
This is about homers and
OBP leaders OBP in the month of May. JD Martinez is at 540. The leader is at 571. Getting you set up for his Mike Lyon here.
Miguel Sano?
No, sir. Corey Parson, you have a guess. OBP leader, month of May.
Month of May, on base percentage leader. Anthony Rizzo.
No, sir. It's a good guess. He's hot, too.
Mike Trout.
There you go. Number five is Mike Trout. Mike Trout, 487 OBP. Four guys are ahead of him, over 500. You know one of them are J.D. Martinez. Can you name any of the other three?
Bryce Harper?
No, sir. Eric Sogard, number one. Everyone's going to guess Eric Sogard. 571. Adam Frazier, number three at 517. And Joey Votto, 510 OBP. When we come back, we wrap up the week how we always do. We try to take down Matt Modica, the champ. Stick around. Is Mike Lyon coming up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning? Just a moment or two away from Is Mike Lyon. Before we get into it, though, I do want to mention Ryan Braun's injury. Remember, he was on the DL previously with his left calf tightness or soreness, whatever you want to call it. He left last night's game and heads back and with the same injury, right? He re-aggravated it, which makes me think he's probably going to head back toward the DL.
Multiple sources confirmed that.
Okay, so Ryan Braun headed back to the DL. More playing time for my guy, Hernan Perez. So.
And Amir Garrett also on the DL.
Amir Garrett, that's right, on the DL. Hopefully that kind of describes why he was so bad his first couple of starts back from the minors. Also, Manny Pena left last night's Milwaukee game.
Hit by a pitch.
Jet Bendy could see more playing time. I know you're a Jet Bendy guy, Scotty.
Yeah, well, I like him, but also some good news for you people. Troy Tulowitzki and Josh Donaldson supposed to come back today for the Blue Jays.
Oh, good for Tulo.
Good one, Scott. That is
good. Tulo and Josh Donaldson. All right, here we do it. Let's do it. Last week, Matt Modica, it was a pure dominating performance. It was as good as it gets. After a two-week rain, which was nice, I felt good, right? I want that feeling again. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday at 9:40, which means it is time for Is Mike Lyon. Michael Florio, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very, very well. How are you, my man?
I'm good. I got some baseball and football today, so, you know, you guys are going to have to bring it.
I'm good. I hope you got something the trips
got up, too.
He hopes you have
got time to trip kind of.
Matt Modica, sir, you are the defending champion, which means you choose where you'd like to go.
I'll go last.
You will go last, which means Scott the King Angle is up first today.
Who you texting?
What?
Who you texting, your wife?
Ronis.
He said Ronis. Ronis, I need the answers.
I was texting the Buffalo Bills.
The whole organization. Yeah. You got a group text with them?
They didn't come back with anything like they do in Super Bowl.
He was texting Buffalo Bills. Hey, if you're watching on the Fantasy Sports Network, check out the new graphic we got for Is Mike Lyon on the TV.
How about that? That's pretty cool.
Very cool. All right.
Not on this TV, Scott.
Hey, all right. Question number one.
Jake Lamb leads the MLB in RBIs.
Nice and simple.
I am going to say this is false.
Jake Lamb does lead the majors in runs batted in.
A lot of homer, man. I'll say false.
False.
It is false.
All right. It is
one
false. One player has more ribbies than Jake Lamb. Scotty, it was your question to you at the first opportunity.
Charlie Blackmon.
Wow.
Nice, Scotty.
Good job, Scott.
Off the hell of a start. 2 points for Scott. One
I
for
hope
Matt
Knight. You can throw Scott off.
One for Matt Knight. Corey with zero as we hit the question number two.
David Johnson had more receiving yards than Cam Meredith.
Whose question is it?
Yours.
So, David Johnson, he had over 2,000 yards. I think he had about, I'm going to say this is true. David Johnson did have more receiving yards than Cam Meredith.
My first instinct was true also. I don't know if you're trying to slip us up here. I'm going to go true. Feels right to me.
I'm going to say true as well.
True.
You're all wrong.
See,
David Johnson had 879. Cam Meredith had 888.
There you go.
Good job. He's being less predictable.
Close to 1,000 yards receiving last year. Good question, Florian.
That was a good one.
Someone I know, you've talked about Cam Meredith. We'll continue talking about him during the summer.
I love Cam Meredith.
All right, no points awarded there as we head to question number three.
Michael Conforto has a higher slugging percentage than Aaron Judge.
True.
True.
You are all correct.
Yeah.
So that was a Met fan question if I've ever heard one. Question number four.
You know how they do.
Always. Question number four.
He's probably wearing a Conforto shirt in the control room.
I am not. According to Uberfacts, kids born today will spend 25% of their lives looking at screens.
True.
False.
I'm going to go false.
I'm also going to go false. I think it's more.
I think it's more.
Me too.
This is true, apparently.
Oh, Matty Modica ties the king up. Scott and Matt at 3. I'm at 2. Corey's at 1.
Besides Chris Sale, taking him out of the equation, Chris Archer leads all other qualified starting pitchers in strikeouts.
This is your question, Scotty.
False.
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 It's false.
Okay.
Two players have more.
King? Did it with Charlie Blackman earlier. Can you do it again?
Two players have more strikeouts than Chris Sale?
No. Chris Sale is number one. We took him out of the equation.
Right. Who are the two players who have the most besides
Chris Sale?
Besides Chris Archer.
Two more have more than Chris Archer.
Two more have more than
Chris Archer. So second and third in the league in strikeouts.
Second and third. Clayton Kershaw?
No. Kershaw is eighth in the league.
Robbie Ray.
Robbie Ray is seventh in the league.
Ooh,
you guys are moving up the list.
Yes.
Danny Salazar?
Danny Salazar's 10th.
I went the wrong way.
Zach Greinke?
Zach Greinke is 3rd.
Oh, good one, man. Good one.
Scotty, soon again. Let's go around one more time. It was fun.
Oh, boy. Irvin Santana?
No.
We were talking about this dude earlier this week. I don't think it's... Jason Vargas?
No.
Looking for guys that strike people out. Carlos Martinez?
No.
I'm going to go back to the well on this one. It might not be because he didn't pitch last night, but I'm going to take a shot. Jake DeGrom?
DeGrom probably would have been in there had he pitched last night. He is one strikeout behind Chris Archer.
Wow.
So no.
Wow. All right, what was the answer there? No points awarded.
Jeff Samardzija.
Oh,
you should have got that.
Modica.
Come on, your
Sat guy. Sat up and said we talked about him earlier this week.
Yeah.
What's crazy is Samardzija's second in the league with 79 strikeouts. Chris Sale is number one with 101.
That's crazy.
God.
Was there another one?
It was Greinke and then Archer.
And was one more, Scott?
No, it was Greinke and Archer.
Oh. Yeah. I was trying to get him to say who. Then I was going to say these nuts.
So you got Greinke.
That's a very small stat.
You got the point for Greinke. What is the score, Mike Florio?
Matt, 5. Scott, 4. Greg, 3. Corey, 2.
I'm coming. All right.
As we head to question number 5.
All right, let's go. Let's go, Florio.
This is question 6.
Question 6. All right. Excuse me.
5 Falcons had more red zone targets than Julio Jones.
5 Falcons had more red zone targets than Julio Jones.
perfect question for you.
True.
I'm trying to think of five that could. True. False.
False.
This is true.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to guess the five, or should I just tell
no,
you?
No, just tell us, because we'll just guess like Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman.
So in order of most red zone receptions on the Falcons, it was Freeman, Sanu, Coleman, Jacob Tammy, Hardy,
Hooper.
And then Julio Jones.
Yeah. No,
Justin Hooper. Hardy had one. That?
Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, so stupid. I have four. I'm tied with the Kings, Scott Angle. One behind Matty Moe. Corey Parson at three, still very much alive in this game, as we head to question number seven.
Bartolo Colon leads all qualified starters in ERA.
False? That seems... false!
Craig was disgusted.
Am I confused that,
there's
like...
a couple of good options here to choose from.
Highest ERA.
Oh, the highest ERA. Oh, sorry. He said lowest, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. He's the highest ERA.
I'm going to stick with false, but I... Okay, I'm going to stick with false. He did say lowest, right, Scott?
Yeah, he did.
That's my bad.
I got what he
was saying. Okay, I'm going to say false.
So I'm saying highest, so you know that now.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Going to say... I think it's really close. I'm going to say true.
False.
What was the question again?
Bartolo Colon is the highest ERA in baseball.
I had him on my Tout Wars team, and I think this is true.
I have him as well, Corey. This is true.
Yeah.
Damn. I thought it was going to be Jared Weaver.
I thought it was going to be Jason Hamill.
Yeah, so, there's a couple of guys I was thinking, too. Like,
what's that dude with the long hair? He kind of a bum.
Bronson Arroyo.
He's second. Oh, okay. So there
Colon's
you go.
ERA is 6.96.
What is
Jason Hamill?
Hamill is... 5.98.
What's Jared Weaver?
Jared Weaver...
I thought it was 19 point something.
I don't see him right here. He might not qualify.
Yeah, because he's been injured. All right.
So, a big one for Corey. Corey moves up to four. Matt moves up to six. Scott and I each at four. Very close game.
Six and three fours. Yeah.
Six and three fours indeed. Question number eight belongs to Matty Mo.
According to UberFacts, Taco Bell started off as a hot dog stand.
Corey would know this.
This is true.
True.
False.
True?
Yeah, this is true.
That's crazy.
It was so outrageous.
Apparently it was called Bell's Hot Dog Stand, and then he moved into Taco Bell.
There you go.
Seems like all the Uber facts questions are true.
Like last week they were both false.
That was the exception, not the rule.
Matt Modiga is up 2 points over Scott the King Angle and myself. As we head to the final two questions, will Matt survive? You're going to have to stick around to find out. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. We wrap up right after this. Mike Lyon to end the week. Matty Modica, sir. You have how many points?
Seven. I think 7-5-5-5.
Floor, what's the score update?
7 for Matt, 5 for you and the King, 4 for my man Corey.
As we head to question number 9, which belongs to the King.
Five?
He got the last one wrong. Question number 9.
Hunter Henry led all tight ends and targets inside the 10-yard line.
True.
Quick true from the King.
False.
True.
So I think this is true as well. I'm going to go true. He had like 8 touchdowns, right? This kid.
This? Wait, so Matt, you said true?
I said true.
This is false. Point for Corey.
Point for Corey. Picks up a point. Ties us with Scott and myself.
2 tight ends had more. He was tied with a bunch of tight ends, including... Okay. I won't say who because it could take guesses away.
Agree.
But
two more. This is a big spot. Mm-hmm. Scotty's up first. It's your question.
Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed is one of them. He's one more than Hunter Henry.
Good job, Scotty.
Oh, that bum Kyle Rudolph.
That was number one in the league.
Yeah, wow! Look at this. It's turn event. 7 for Matt. 6 for Scott. 6 for Corey. 5 for me. I'm also in last place. As we head to the final question of the day. Corey.
Corey, you ready?
Let's go.
Clayton Kershaw has the lowest walk percent amongst all qualified starters.
This is ridiculous. Clayton Kershaw has the lowest walk percent amongst all qualified starters. Percentage of walks allowed amongst all qualified starters. I'm going to say this is false.
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 You all say false. It is false.
Okay.
Two pitchers have lower.
I somehow need to get both of them in order to win. All right.
To tie.
All right, Corey, if you get one right now, you will tie for the lead.
Jeff Samardzija.
Jeff Samardzija's 4th.
Oh!
That was a good one, Corey. That was a good one.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
All right. I will say Ivan Nova.
That is number one.
Oh, good. There's one, Greg.
There's one for me.
So now we have a three-way tie for second.
If Matt gets this one right now, he is our champion.
It's between two pitchers. I'm not sure if it's right, but I've got two guys. Dallas Keuchel?
No, Dallas Keuchel's 14th.
14th, okay. Scott, if you get this right, you go into overtime with Matt.
Irvin Santana.
No, Santana, he's a little bit down the...
Go around one more time, we're so close. All right, Corey, you get this right, you tie Modica.
Lowest walk percentage.
That's a marginal one.
It's a marginal, a hell of a guess.
I love the Nova guess.
Nova's number one.
Nova's number one.
Michael Pineda.
Oh, man. Michael Pineda's 5th.
Oh, my God!
Corey has gotten 4 and 5.
Oh, my God, Corey.
I got one guess.
All right. My guess, I know I got to do it quickly here. I honestly don't even know. My guess is Lance McCullers.
Oh, that's a good one.
No.
Oh.
Zach Greinke?
Zach Greinke's 8th.
Oh, my God. Scott, to go to overtime. If not, Matt Modica is the champion.
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale's 9th.
Oh. Your winner and still is Mike Lyon champion, Matt CTM Baseball Modica. Who is the answer, Florio?
Josh Tomlin.
Oh,
I never got that.
That was never going to happen.
He's always up there, though, in this category.
He's always the walk guy. He has, like, more homers.
You're never going to guess him. It sucks. Close. Score was up next on the OGs here.
Coming up on OGs, we'll talk about some of the things that we should be looking forward to as these OTAs going on in the NFL and how they can help fantasy. And I just did did something just now. I want to see. Interesting. Weeks 3 through... I talk about this on Old School Fantasy.
For Matt Modica, the champ! For Scott the King Angle, for Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for listening to the Roto Experts. It's a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. We'll see you on Memorial Day, everybody. 8 a.m. Bye-bye!